Todd, we're speaking from the Holy Yeshiva Chutzal Chesed in Yerushalayim. We're learning the book, one of the books of Rav Shalom Arishlita, Magana Shalom, the Garden of Peace. We're on page 61, at the bottom of the page in the Hebrew version. We're learning that we need to put our wives in first place, above everything else, top priority. The most important positive thing that a person can do in their marriage, put his wife in first place. Rav Arish just told us a story of a woman who came with a husband. They're having problems in Shalom Bayit. The woman had a long list of complaints. Rav said to her, you know what? Let's hear them. She read the first complaint, and it was the husband didn't come home on time when he said he was going to come home. Rav explained, actually, the whole problem here is that the husband didn't put his wife in first place. If he put his wife in first place and he said he was going to be back at 8 o'clock, then he's going to be back at 8 o'clock. Not 8.05, not 8.10, certainly not 8.30. If he said 8 o'clock, he meant 8 o'clock. You should drop everything and make sure that you're there for 8 o'clock. If you told your wife 8 o'clock, she's waiting for you. It means that you didn't put your wife first. Okay, you had a lot of other issues that were pressing, right? But they're not as important. Okay, he continues. When I asked the wife to move on to her next complaint that she had on her list, Amra, she said, we don't need the rest of the list. If he only understands the point that you just spoke to him about making me first place, that's enough for me. You succeeded in putting your finger on it. To put your finger on the exact problem that I have with my husband. Right? That she didn't even realize. And if he deals with that problem, then the rest of the list is unnecessary. The whole list is based on that one problem. He doesn't put me first. Okay. Bishvil la'avin et ha'pnimiyut sh'anekuda hazon. In order to understand the deeper meaning, the inner meaning of this idea, to put a woman first. Tzurichim la'dat sh'abo'er ba'at nefesh isha ba'ofin kazeh. Person needs to know that Hashem made the soul of a woman in a certain way. She'et kol chiyuta. He shoevet miyakavod. How did he make her neshama? He made it such that all of her chiyut, her life force, is drawn through her kavod. Her life force comes as a result of her kavod. Kamosha katub, like the it says in Tehillim, kol kavuda bat melech panima. That all of the kavod, the honor of a woman, of the bat melech, of the princess, the daughter of the king, panima, is internal. Sheperusho, the meaning of which, shepnimiyut shalisha, the inner part of a woman, v'chayot shala, and her life force, zeh kavod, that's her kavod, her honor. Ubishvila, and for that, Levater al kavod zekmo levater al avir l'neshama. And in order for her to give up, to forego her kavod, her honor, is like giving up her breath. Kavod is a main thing. Like we learned when it was criticizing a woman. Just like to criticize her is taking away her oxygen. It's the same thing here, but just in the positive sense. If you take away her kavod, she has nothing to breathe from. And Davka, if you give her kavod, you're giving her life. The other half of the coin. One side of the coin is don't take her kavod away by criticizing her. And the other side of the coin is give her kavod by making her number one. That's her life. To give her kavod. Lachen, therefore, Iyasha lachayot imisha, kmoch shechayim ingever. Therefore, it's impossible to live with a woman like you would live with a man. Im chaver or shutach, like you would live with your friend or your partner. completely different. Dahainu al piklal shel, meaning on the rules of ani beseder etcha v'ata ati beseder etchi. Right? You can't live on the basis of I'll be fine, I'll be good to you, everything's okay with me and everything's okay with you. Right? Well, all everyone is equal. I'll be good to you, you'll be good to me. Equal shares. Doesn't work that way with a woman. It's not how a woman's built. Might be how a man's built. And with your roommate or with your friend, you get on, give and take. Not with a woman. No such thing. Rather, a person who wants to live with a woman needs to know her identity, who she is, how she's made up. How does her brain work? How does a yetzahara work? What does she think? How does she think? What is important to her? Right? A person needs to understand all of that about his wife. It's funny, it just reminds me of a television program. Tov, in my youth, when there was such a thing as TV, but it doesn't exist nowadays, television. But in the old days, there was something called television, and they had programs on. Anyway, so there was one program that just popped into my head now while I'm reading this. It was called Mr. and Mrs. I don't think it had in the US as well. But it was a British show, Mr. and Mrs. It was a quiz show, panels of couples, and it was a quiz. And what was the quiz? They would have the husband and the wife, and they would ask questions to the husband about the wife, and ask questions to the wife about the husband. Like things like, what colour is his toothbrush? And stuff like that, right? And they would get points depending on how well they knew their spouse. So I'm actually staying here, right? And you like, see, what colour is his favourite shirt? And I've no idea. Why? I don't know what he wears. Like, I haven't even looked at. I have no idea what he wears. Do you know? Right? You see that there's just no cachet. All right. Or person needs to know his wife, what she likes, what she doesn't like, what makes her happy, what makes her sad. That's giving her respect. If you don't know what your wife's favorite perfume is, how can you buy a perfume? If you don't know what your wife's favorite color is, how can you buy a new mipachat? You know what color she likes. I bought you a blue one. She hates blue. Right? If you're going to buy your wife jewelry, which is a very good idea, you should always take your wife with you. It took me a lot of many years, 10 years. I try and buy my wife jewelry. It's about earrings, bracelet, ring, whatever it was. Whatever I picked wasn't her taste. Take your wife with you. It's not such a surprise. I wanted to surprise her, blah, 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 but she's much happier. Wife is not such into surprises. Men like surprises. Right? This is also something I like. My wife doesn't like surprises.
What's right? Better?
You have to know that, because I like surprises, right? As a kid, a surprise, a birthday, a present. The office, a surprise is half a thing, right? Because the present was probably not very much. And the surprise, the fact that someone cared about the top, that was more important. But I learned with my wife, she doesn't like surprises. Usually the surprise wasn't what she wanted. I had to talk much better. She's much happier. I want to buy you something. I don't know. Let's go. Let's look. You can choose it. You can pick it. I'm very happy. Much more. It's not so exciting, but Tom, what's more important? Am I doing it for me or am I doing it for her? If I'm doing it for me, I want to look like the big, but hey, look what I did. I did a big surprise for you. I'm the big man. I'm a gever. Right? This is what I bought for you. You're going to like it. I bought it. Right? Shtuyot. Right? Much more important. I'm nothing. It's not important what I did. I didn't do nothing. I just took you to the shop and said, pick. She picked what she liked. I paid for it. Yofi. Does it get me to be the biggest man in the world? No, I didn't do nothing. She did it all. She picked it. I just stood there and paid. I didn't do nothing in this. But she's happy. She's very, very happy. Much happier than if I was full of myself. Look what I did for you. I brought you this beautiful necklace. And she's like, oh, thanks very much. I don't like necklaces.
What I like doing is I tell my wife, okay, let's go to the mall.
Yeah.
Say, why don't we go in there?
Yeah.
She walks in. I'll be back in half an hour.
Who's back in half an hour?
I'll be back in half an
you
hour.
You leave her alone for half an hour?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you give her a checkbook?
No. Then I come back and she picks it out and okay. Drop the credit card.
Everyone has to know what their wife likes and what's good for them. And if you don't know what your wife likes, then here's a chiddush. You have to ask them. You have to ask them what they like. Right? Which sounds like it's a bit obvious. And we only ask my wife like all the time. What do you want? You know, do you want to eat a falafel? What are you interested in? Yoffie, we do the basics, but we don't sometimes forget that we can ask them about everything else that's going on. I don't have to guess. Will my wife like this book? I don't know. I'm going to call her from the bookstore and say, I'm in a bookstore and I've seen a book I thought you might like. I wanted to buy it for you, but I don't know. Do you like this book? Do you want another recipe book? I know you like recipes, but maybe you've got 6,000 ways of making sushi and you don't want another one. I don't know. But or maybe you absolutely love sushi books and that's why you've got 6,000. Which one sushi? Is it? Is it because you like it and you've got... Or because you've got enough now already? I don't know. Who knows? Which one? We made yesterday. Both of us. I make sushi with her. We made yesterday for going to a wedding tonight with Nedda. So we made them sushi as a... Anyway, Yoffi, what are we doing? Let's move on. You have to know your wife. Ubikal adat et hadavaya sodi biyoter benasha, shokoli shavolan. And the most important thing to know, the most fundamental thing in the life of every woman in the world, hisri hakavod, that she needs kavod. Right? Ve'ikar kavoda, and the main thing in her kavod, hu shemagisha shehida vach hashub yoter b'nei bala. The most important thing in her kavod, to give a wife kavod, is that she feels that she's number one in the eyes of her husband. We don't realize it in the West because we don't know nothing. We think that marriage is just a partnership of a woman and a man. Tom, they get together, a woman and a man, they build a home together, they share things, it's good, they work out together. They don't understand the dynamic. What's a dynamic? The dynamic is, the truth is, Hashem created a woman to be your basher, to be your soulmate. She, her neshama is tied to yours. She gets her life force from your neshama. What's it mean? It means that she doesn't realize it, but her life is coming through her husband. So her neshama knows that. Her neshama knows that if she's not number one in the eyes of her husband, then why is she here? Her only existence in this world, the only reason she came down into the world was to fix her husband, to be a help for him. She doesn't know that. But her neshama knows it. So if her husband's ignoring her, then she's like, why do I want to live? What am I here for? Right? You can't tell a woman in this world of feminism, where everyone's apparently equal, that the only reason she's here is for her husband. And her life is only to live for her husband. She'll kill you, right? She doesn't know. But her neshama knows it's true. So when that doesn't happen, when she's not number one, when she doesn't get the attention she needs from her husband's not treating her with kavod, she is depressed, sad, and she has no clue why. She doesn't understand why. If her husband doesn't know this, and he doesn't give her, his wife, this feeling, he can never make her happy. Right? We know that we have to make our wives happy. How do I make her happy? I bought her everything that she wanted. I do everything she wants. She says, take out the garbage, I take out the garbage. She says, do the dishes, I do the dishes. She says, call your mom, I call my mom. Right, whatever she says, I do. And she's still not happy. How can you ever make this woman happy? Right, easy. Pay her some attention. Give her some kavod. The perek zeh anu navi kama dugmaot v'kama afanim. So in this chapter, we're only at the beginning of the chapter, in this chapter, Rav Arash writes, we're going to bring some examples. Lacham chish, ketzad mitbatei yachaso shabal lishto. To elaborate on how this expresses itself in the relationship between a husband and a wife. Ke'el hadavar chashuv biyoter b'chayav. As the most important thing in life, aval in the life of the couple, aval al lanu lishkoach she'ilu v'dugmaoch. But we have to remember that these examples that he's going to bring are only examples. That ikar, the main thing, huwa mesa panisha b'hem. The main thing is the message that is within the examples. Person shouldn't take the example and say, well, okay, I'll fix that, and then I'll fix it. So the example is, we're going to see the example now. The person doesn't come home when he says he's going to come home. Whatever, Tom, okay, I understand, I should come home and I shouldn't come home. Your feet, I'll do that and I'll fix the problem. No, that's just an expression of the problem. It's an example of what's going on. The underlying thing is the ikkah. To remember, the underlying thing is that I have to want to give my wife kavod. Rav Arash just spoke for an hour on the importance of ratzon. So all in the what I want, am I doing it because I want to do it, or am I doing it just from the external, the outside, just for show? Person can put on talis tefillin, do all the mitzvahs in the Torah, but if it's just for show and it's not internal, I don't actually want to do it, I don't care, it doesn't interest me, then I'm far, far away from where I need to be. What do I need to do? I need to do the outside. I need to be doing all of those things, but I need to want to do it. I need to be buying my wife clothes for the Chag. It's a halacha. Halacha says you need to buy your wife new clothes for the Chag. You bought your wife clothes yet for the Chag, Rabbi Yaakov?
What I do is I figure them all.
Yofi, that's also good enough. Yafe, go pick. Yes, Rabbi Michael, Yofi, you've got a week left. 100 shekel, 200 shekel, if it's a bit pachat, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, something small, it's halacha.
And it's a price for my wife.
Halacha is you need to buy your wife clothes for the chag. It's a halacha. Right, that's the external. What's the internal? I actually want to do it. I really want you to have something new. So you feel good, so you feel like a princess.
And then what I realized is that, no, you simply say, okay, Rosh Hashanah is coming up. You need to get clothes. She already has a credit card. I already showed her where the stores are. I said, if you want, you can also go to Meir Shirin, which she's not ready for that.
Okay.
And so, you know, she has fun and she does what she wants to do.
Yofi. As long as she buys it and knows that you want her to buy it, because you know, if you just like leave her to her own, I'll let you get on with it. You do what you want. Then it's not coming from me. She's doing what she wants. She would have bought it anyway. She's got a credit card. She knows where the store is. She wants to buy something. She'll buy something. My job is to let her know, I want you to buy clothes from the Chag. I want you to be feeling the best you can feel. She has to know that you want it.
And what I keep on suggesting to her is that maybe she needs to cover up to her wrists.
No. Sorry.
No, there's a different reason for that. She's been getting...
okay, scritchy arms. Okay, Yofi, but okay, you're fair. We had the lessons on being very careful about what we say to our wives that is something negative. Right? Kilu, you're doing something wrong. If it was, I'm not saying it was, but if it was in the came across, it could be understood that you should be covering up to your wrists, you're not doing it, you should maybe start thinking about doing it. It's not what Rabbi Arash is saying is a good thing. Rabbi Arash is saying that is very damaging. What we need to do is simply pray. If I want my wife to cover up to her wrists, I need to go to the field and say, Hashem, I want my wife to cover to her wrists, and I'm not going to say a word to her, and I want you to put it into her head that she starts doing that.
No, I didn't even think of that. It's just that she was getting all these welts.
Yeah, that's her message from Hashem.
Right.
To tell
and
her,
so I said,
right? A person, that's her own message, but I'm not
so
I'm not
said,
the messenger. You're going to shoot the messenger.
No,
you're going to shoot the messenger.
I simply said, okay, if you're getting welts, maybe you need to cover up the wrists.
So let me know, Rosh Hashanah is a good chance for you to go buy something for your wife. You buy it, she would long sleeve.
No,
but it's going to fall into this problem. The problem is, it has to come from a good place. A wife has bina, a wife has understanding. She knows what's behind the scenes. I can't fool her, not with my words and not with my gifts. If I come to her with a long sleeve top, she knows exactly what's going on. Right? She has bina. Even though I'm the most subtle, I'm going to get this past her, she won't even notice. Playing along with you. She smiles and says, thank you very much, my husband. She knows exactly what you've had it in the neck. Right? You wanted roast lamb for Yom Tov, you're not going to get roast lamb. You're going to be lucky if you get a schnitzel. Right? You're going to pay. You're going to pay. Right?
No, the cats will eat better than we will.
Exactly. Because she can't help it. That's how she's programmed. So our job...
And so I simply take the logical step and simply say, okay, if you're getting waltz, maybe you need to cover up.
Yeah, but that's her message, not your message. You can't be the messenger. Mamash, you can't. Even though you want to and you're doing good and you're doing what Hashem wants.
No, I wasn't even thinking. I was just taking a logical step. But then I said, okay.
She's a grown woman. I assume you didn't marry a teenager. So she's a grown woman. She knows if she has welts on her skin. She doesn't need to be told. I'm not having a girl. I'm just giving the example that... We think that we're coming to save the day. I'm a knight on a shining white horse, like dumb to the rescue. Did you know? She knew. She's not dumb. She knows exactly. She doesn't need me to point out anything.
We're not Don Coyote with his.
So she doesn't need me to be the knight on the shining horse coming to the rescue. She knows exactly what's going on with her better than I do, right? She's a grown woman. I don't need to tell her nothing. My job is to try my hardest, which is why this is hard. It's not simple. And Rav Arush says, criticizing your wife, saying anything negative, is really hard. It includes exactly what we're talking about right now. It's really hard because I just want to help. I just want to help. Yeah, fair. I've got to get over that instinct of I just want to help and cancel myself, legamrei, completely cancel myself. And say, you know what, Hashem, even though this is killing me, I'm going to stop myself. That's what Hashem wants. That's the bigger battle, the battle in me, to cancel myself completely to Him and let Him take care of it. And not think that I'm going to take care of it. That's the biggest battle in the world, and that's what He wants from me. To fight that battle, to stay shtum, to not say a word, and to rely on Him completely. To Ryan, Hashem gave me a little nest yesterday, just a small one, but it's worth sharing because all nests in from Hashem, we need to hold on to all of them. I needed a friend to help me out with something. I asked him on Thursday night last week to help me with something. He said, yeah, sure. Friday, I'll sort it out for you Friday. Friday didn't come back to me. Friday I gave him a call to remind him. He said, yeah, no problem. It's a bit like, let's do it Motzei Shabbat. I said, yeah, fine, Motzei Shabbat. Great for me. Motzei Shabbat didn't happen. Sunday didn't come back to me. And it started to get urgent, this thing that I needed help from. He called me on Monday yesterday in the afternoon. I missed his call. I was learning, whatever. Monday evening, he still hadn't called me back. He said he was going to call me back. He still hadn't called me back. It's starting to get pretty urgent. And I called his number. And like, I shouldn't really chase him. It's not right for me to chase him, Hashem. I know you don't want... What should I do? Should I chase him? Maybe just... Let's just get... Right? Let's move things on. Right? It's important that we get this thing done. No, I shouldn't care. You know what? You're right. I stood there with the phone in my hand, having the conversation, having that struggle with myself. Hashem, you're right. He'll call me when it's the right time. And I put the phone down. Put the phone down on, I was next to the sofa, put the phone down on the sofa, on the arm of the sofa, and I turned away to go and get a drink. As I turned my back, the phone rang, it was him saying, hey, let's do it. Mamash, as I turned away, I put the phone down, he called. It was a small, it was like, thank you Hashem for that chizuk. Right? Because I stood there struggling with myself. I should call him, I shouldn't. And that's our test in all of these things. I really want to do what I really want to. And I've got to break that ratzon. I've got to break that and say, no, Hashem, you're right. Everything is in your hands. When the time is right, when everything, you know what you're doing. It's not me. You're running the world, not me. Tov, Bezat Hashem, we'll stop there. We'll be a bit over our time. So we'll pass on.